Hiya, is that Angela?
Yeah, speaking. Oh my God, you just rang me before.
Yeah, you okay?
Yeah, it kept coming up a suspected spam.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with this number.
Oh, I'll log that on. Thank you.
Yeah, it's because three times you've rang, and every time I thought, oh, I've got another one of them calls.
Well, understandable, yeah.
That's why I didn't, and I thought I'm gonna have to pick it up because I am waiting for a call.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I'll log that on and see if we can get that sorted. But yeah, so my name's Francesca, calling from INS in relation to the Scottish Redress application. So I see you've been waiting the phone call. So I just need to take a few details down for data protection purposes. So would I be able to confirm your full name, please?
Yes, it's Angela Swan Wood.
Perfect. And do you have any other previous names?
Yeah, McGowan is my maiden name.
How are you spelling that? Sorry.
MCGOWAN.
Gallon, perfect. And your date of birth?
Yeah, that's on my date of birth, yeah. Oh,
Yep.
10th of 2nd, 66. Well,
Second, 1966, perfect. And your current address?
it's 43 Riding Close, apartment 15, Hindley, Wigan. It's WN23FR.
FR.
Yeah, for Freddie. Romeo Freddie.
Right. And did you say it was Riding Close?
Yeah, Riding Close, love. RIDING Close.
Perfect. And
In.
did you know your address prior to care?
What do you mean when I was
So
in?
beforehand.
What, before I moved here?
No, so before you were placed in care, were you did you know the address you were in beforehand, so parents or anything, or the area?
Let me see, because we were just all over the place. We've been
Yeah,
all
that's
over
okay.
Scotland. So the last place that I remember when we were going into care was Springburn,
Yeah.
Elmvale Road, which is ELM Vale, VALE
Yeah.
Road, and that's Springburn.
Perfect. And parents' names?
Elizabeth Daniels, well, McGowan, she would have been then.
So Daniels and then
Yeah.
Pryor would have been McGowan, yeah?
Yeah, and then my father's name is Stuart McGowan.
Thank you.
This address in Elmvale Road was in Glasgow, obviously.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Okay, so I'll just pop through. So all calls are recorded as well for training quality purposes.
Okay.
So I appreciate that. Obviously, discussing anything regarding like these experiences and everything can be difficult and upsetting. So please
Yeah.
take your time. If you need a break or any explanations or support, or if you want to stop and continue at another time, just let me know, okay? Don't hesitate to let me know if you need a break.
Yeah.
And quick question, so do you suffer from any communication difficulties or vulnerabilities that you wish to make me aware of?
No, I'm dyslexic, so it takes me a while to process.
That's okay. So am I. That's okay.
Oh, that's great.
That's okay. That's why if you say some things, I may need to actually dispel them, and obviously then I understand that you're the same
And
as
I'm
me.
exactly the same as you then, love. So
Yeah.
that just does me great. That makes me happy.
Yeah, it might take us both a little time, but we'll get there.
Yeah, to get through it.
Yeah. So the purpose of the call today, so I'll explain the scheme to you, explain your options, how INS4 works, discuss funding and fees, and then we'll gather initial information to assess on how we're going to be able to assist you and everything like that. Is that all
Right,
okay? Yeah.
okay. Yeah, that's fine, love.
Perfect. So the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies, and support to survivors of child abuse in Scotland. That were okay prior to the 1st of December 2004. So I just want to say so you understand all your options before deciding whether to instruct us or not. So
Yeah.
you're entitled, so you're allowed to apply by yourself without a solicitor to the scheme, or you can instruct a solicitor. So that would be someone who operates underneath the Scottish Government legal fees scheme. So they're paid by the government for assisting you. So they can get up to £2,000 plus the VAT from the government for assisting you, regardless of whether you're successful or not. So with us, we're private, so we do not operate under that, so we don't claim the fees. So if you choose us, you're choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement that will be sent to you following this phone call as well. And so we're not paid by the government for assisting you. So can I just double check that you haven't instructed any of the solicitors or anything in relation to this?
No.
Is that all okay with you at the moment?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Perfect. So our agreement operates on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if you're unsuccessful, you don't have to pay anything. And if you withdraw it, again, you pay nothing. Yeah. So our fees consist of basic charges based on the time spent and then success fee.
Yeah. Right.
So the total fees, including VAT, they're capped at no more than 16% plus the VAT of your redress payment, and you never pay more than that. So it's no win, no fee, it's time based success fee and all that kind of stuff. So
okay.
We can't guarantee that you'll be successful or the level of award the scheme may award. So they work on a discretionary basis. Yeah. I can explain that in great detail. So it's very independent based.
Right.
So we can't guarantee what they're going to say or anything like that. So if you choose to go with us, so we assist with your eligibility for the scheme. We gather and review all the evidence for you, prepare and submit the application. We do all the correspondence with the scheme. We can advise you on any offers made, explain the statutory waiver if an award is offered, and then assist with any reconsideration or review process within the scheme. So if you're not happy with your outcome or anything like that, we can assist you then with getting it reviewed or anything.
Okay.
So the statutory waiver warning. So if an offer is made to you, we'll fully explain it before you decide whether to accept anything. But we have to tell you, because if you do accept it, it can affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to these matters.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not expected to accept any offer without fully understanding the consequences. So do you have any questions so far?
I'm just a bit, it's because I can't remember most of it.
Yeah, that's okay.
And I know that when I went and sent for my social services forms, the files.
Yeah.
There was a lot of things that wasn't kind of put in there that happened, so.
Yeah. So thing with that, so we take your statement, it's your words, so we write it in your words, and that's you telling people what happened to you.
Yeah.
And then we gather as much evidence as possible.
Yeah.
So if they understand that something can be missed out, obviously there's a lot of difficult situations, isn't there? And a lot of people, there's a lot of lying and everything like that. So we just know on our behalf that your statement is a big part of it.
Right, okay.
So with the evidence, as long as obviously you prove that you were in care and there's some sort of evidence regarding what happened, but not everything necessarily needs to be there. We just try and get as much as we can to help. So I'll note down that you've seen it, haven't you? And not everything's on there.
No, it's not.
So was that regarding a specific care setting, or was this a general overview?
I think it was just, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it, to be fair. It was just that I know that other things had gone on, but we was also sexually abused at home. So and I feel that we was kind of let down with social services, because we were trying to tell them that it's happening at home and stuff like that, and they were still sending us back to these places. We went to so many different homes all around Scotland. So it's kind of a bit difficult to put everything into order, if you know what I mean.
I completely understand. So that's what, so I can help you with that. So we'll actually just have a conversation. I'll ask some questions, and you can just tell me what you can. Obviously, I understand you're not going to remember everything, and a lot of you'll choose to obviously put it to the back of their head.
Yeah.
So at any point, if it gets too much, let me know. We'll have a little break. And if things do come to mind and say it's not in the order what we're speaking about, just let me know anyway. It's my job to piece it all together for you.
Yeah. Okay.
So don't worry, I can help you through that, and we can, we'll sort that out. So it's just, so I'll do everything I can just to help you. Obviously, it's a very difficult thing to speak about. So being able to say it in order of everything is, I don't expect that. Don't worry, it's completely, I get it.
You're reliving it as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So just take your time. If you feel like you need to come back to it at a different point, or skip any questions, or you're not ready, just be open and honest with me, okay? And we'll try and go through it as much as we can.
All right. Well,
along the lines as well, so with us, so there's also the right to cancel. So if you decide to proceed, you have 14 days after you sign the agreement with us, and you can cancel for any reason without any charge, for just some people you're just not ready for any reason. You can also, so we can begin the work while those 14 days cancellation rights remain, so we get a head start on it. Would you be happy for us to begin the work while the cancellation rights still remain?
Yeah, you can just do it. Yeah.
Perfect. So following this phone call as well, so I'll need would be proof of identity and address for verification purposes. So I'll send an email following this call just outlining everything. So would you be okay to start the application? So I just need to gather some information, just details. And then following that, then we'll move on to the statements.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
So I'll just start now. So I've got here, just to confirm, so your address is 43 Riding Close, apartment 15 in Wigan, yeah?
Yeah, that's right, Hinley, Wigan.
Yeah, Hinley, Wigan. And then I've got WN23FR. Perfect. So regarding contact, so we tend to contact by phone, email and text, and then sometimes post. Is there any that you'd rather not us contact you via?
No, it's fine. No. No. It's just that sometimes my emails just go missing. I don't know why, but...
Yeah, that's okay. So every single time, if we send you emails, I'll also send you a text message.
Yeah.
So if that comes through then... Usually if we sent you a text message, you'll probably get an email with it as well, so you can go back then and have a look.
Yeah, that'd just, be great.
Yeah, check your spam and stuff as well. So are there any terminal illnesses that you've been diagnosed with that we need to add?
Not terminal, but I do have rheumatoid arthritis.
Okay, no, I'll pop that on there for you. So another question. So beneficiary, so if anything was to happen to you and you are successful with it, did you want to add a beneficiary so it would go to them?
That's a difficult one. Well, I've got three children, so...
Yeah. So a lot of people say they tend to put the oldest and then discuss it with them. So then they kind of...
And I've also got a partner, but we don't live together, so...
Yeah. That's also okay. So you can put anyone, or I can leave it blank for a bit now until you've had a little think about it. Yeah,
of course. Leave it blank, because I don't want to upset anyone.
Yeah, no, that's okay. We can come back to that one. That's okay.
Okay.
So... The next, so she had your GP at the moment.
It's Pennygate Surgery.
And did you know the postcode or the general area of that one? Just like pop it on.
Not really. Do you want me to find it for you?
No, that's okay. I can do that. Is it in Wigan then? Obviously, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it is. It's in Hindley, love. Yeah.
It's in Hindley. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I can find that for you. That's okay. So, and obviously it's a tricky question, not many people will know, but did you know the area or name of the GP that you might have attended while you were younger?
No, but I know it was on, it was Springburn, Elmvale Road it was on, it was right at the top of the road, but I'm not sure.
Was it Elm?
Yeah, E-L-M-V-A-L-E. Elmvale Road.
Elmvale Road, perfect. Yeah. Thank you. That was perfect. Okay, so now I just need to ask the names of the care settings that you were placed in and the years roughly, if you know, or age, or just a generic time.
You know, I've got all that information on my file, but my file's not here.
Yeah, that's okay. So did you just know the names of them?
I can tell you the ones that I can remember, but there was obviously there's quite a lot. I think there was 9 different ones.
Yeah.
There was one, East Park Home.
Yeah.
That I remember. That was East Park Home. That was in Largs.
Largs.
I have to write it down.
That's one I've learned how to spell. That's okay.
Largs 8. L-A-R-G-S, that was in Scotland. There was one, Brain Dam, B-R-A-N-B-A-M, that was in Stirling.
Yeah, perfect.
I know there was one in Maryhill, but I can't remember the name of the home.
Okay, so let me see. If I was to say some out to you, would you recognise them?
I don't know. I don't, because we were in, some of them we were in overnight, some of them were in a couple of days, some of them we were in for months.
Lockburn? Does that ring a bell?
No, but I know we was in one in Lockerbie.
Lockerbie?
Yeah. In Dumfries.
In Dumfries, you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. If you get manage to get access to the file that say that's got all the information on, if you can send that to us, that would be brilliant.
Oh god, yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, but if not, no worries, that's okay. So we've got the general areas and stuff. So just because when it comes to taking the statement, I'd have to write a statement for each of the settings you were in. But if you can't necessarily remember, or if it's all muddled up or all just one, I can take a general overview statement of everything.
Right.
And then we can try and piece it together. Or we can get that through other forms, like trying to find evidence and things like that.
Yeah.
So this is a couple of impact factors. So have you received a relevant payment, anything or settlements relating to any of these or an advance payment scheme?
No.
No? And do you have any criminal convictions?
No.
Perfect. Just double check I've got everything on here. And are there any hospitals that you visited that you recall?
When I was younger, there was a bit in one of the, well, my sister won't let me see her files. She said there's things in there that she don't want me to relive, basically.
Yeah.
It's obviously stuff that I've forgotten. So I don't know what that means. But I do remember when I was about 10 and I was with two social workers. I don't know the reason why I was going to the hospital.
Yeah.
But they did an internal.
Yeah.
And I had a, only because I've read this, it was a DNC that I had, and I don't know the reason why I had that at that age or what had happened to me.
Yeah. It's okay. We don't need to go into further detail. That's okay. Do you recall which hospital it was?
No, but it probably, we were living in Glasgow then, so it could have been the infirmary. I'm not sure.
That's okay. We can have a look into that for you.
Yeah.
So regarding any information that we gather, would you like us to keep it all separate so you don't have to see any of them, or?
I'm not really bothered, really.
Yeah, no. So following the statements I take with you, my colleague in the other department require further statements, usually following some of the evidence that we get. Would you be okay doing that? Obviously, we can fit your circumstances, like anything that you need or require. Would you rather speak with a woman about it or anything like that?
I think it'd be easier with a woman, to be fair.
Yeah.
Not that, I mean, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's just one of, yeah. That's okay. Yeah. You don't need to explain that one. That's okay. I'll just pop it on. So my colleague said there's a female on the other team, so I'll just let her know.
Yeah.
That's okay. So just taking all that now. So the next section is the statement part. So are you ready or did you need a break or are you okay to move on?
No, let's just get this bit done.
Yeah, of course. So you can tell me a general overview, you can talk about individual places or just say things as they come to you, how you felt, just anything, just at your own pace, whatever you want to say.
Okay. Where do you want me to start?
Okay, so you can start with say the first place you went, if you remember.
The very first place, no.
Or the first memory you have or anything, and then we can just work from there.
That I have is a nunnery in Aberdeen with sisters. They were quite cruel, to be fair.
Yeah.
there was me, my younger sister, and my younger brother. We all got split up. I don't know where my elder sister went or my younger brother.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was younger than the other brother. I just remember them just kind of looking at us. We were all huddled together. Obviously, I was trying to protect them, even though I was still a baby. They were younger than me. And we went into this kitchen. I don't know if I can describe it. It was a kitchen laundry room.
Yeah.
There was just marble floor. There was just, I don't even think it, I think it was just stone, basically. But we had to strip off the clothes that we came in.
Yeah.
And they hosed us down, basically. And my little brother was crying, and I was kind of lashing out at the sister, which they didn't take very kindly at. But I was trying to protect them because we had gone through so much before all that at home.
Yeah. Just defensive, isn't it? Just instant protective.
Yeah, definitely. But anyway, they gave us something to put on and put us in this room. There was two single beds. And my brother was in one. And me and my younger sister was in another.
Yeah.
And they locked us in there until breakfast, when he opened the door. Kind of took us down to the dining room where there was other children. We didn't know there was anybody else in there.
Yeah.
We didn't see anyone or hear anything.
Yeah, so these rooms are very isolated, so you didn't
very
know
isolated.
Who else was about.
I remember coming out, there was two nuns behind us, and we weren't allowed to speak, and it was like a long corridor.
Yeah.
With lots of doors. I remember seeing lots of shut doors, and then as we got to the end, we just kind of turned, and there was a dining room with lots of little tables. And
yeah.
Our children sitting there, and us three was put on one table.
Yeah.
And they kind of fed us, but we couldn't leave the table unless we asked them to be excused. And we had to wait till everybody was finished. And they took us back to the room after that and locked us in there.
So was it only breakfast that you left the room?
And dinner, obviously, tea time. And then we were put in a room, behosed. They gave us like a nighty thing. It was cotton, I don't even know what it was, to be fair. And then we went back to that room and they locked us in there. We was only in there, it was about a week, I think we'd done a week.
Yeah. So how were you moved? So who was it that would say, like, come and like take you and put you somewhere else? How?
Well, they sent us back to the family home.
Yeah.
My mum had left us when I was really little. She just got up and left. And she left five of us I don't even want to call him my father.
Yeah, no.
With Stuart McGowan, I'd just call him Stuart.
Yeah, that's okay. You can call him that. I'll understand, that's okay.
And we were left with him. And then a week later, he was ill again.
Yeah.
They took us back in another home. And I remember this one in, I think it was Mary Hill. It was a big, big house. There was loads of children in there.
Yeah.
And we were put in a room. Oh, it was just horrendous. They were all fighting. All the kids, we were put in a room, like a padded cell, is the way I can describe it.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get out. And then when they did let us out of there, they put us in this dorm with all the kids. And
so was that like a holding room that they kept you before they moved you?
Yeah. And there was a guy that was walking round, checking the rooms, checking that everybody was in bed, and he would slip his hand in the sheets.
Yeah.
And put his hand over our mouth. And obviously tell us if we'd said anything then.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of threatening us. We were only kids. We were only, I was 10, 11 at that time.
Yeah. Big abuse of power.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I know it was the 70s when we was in these homes.
Yeah.
And then someone come and picked us up and took us somewhere else because all the other homes were full. So we didn't get to this other one till night. And I just didn't like the feeling of it. I just didn't feel safe at all in there.
Yeah.
And she said, you're leaving in the morning, but you've got to stay here. And I just said, well, why can't we just go home? And she said, you can't, there's no one there. Basically, Stuart couldn't cope. And I just wished that he would have just let us be adopted. We did meet an adopted family.
Yeah.
And she
let you go.
She wanted to keep us, and he just wouldn't. And I know obviously everything would have been different, but it just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. Who wanted to keep you, sorry?
Fran McGuigan. It was a lady who had a lovely house. She had one child, and me and my younger sister used to go there twice a year. With all the other places we used to go, this was the only place that I think that we both felt like we were part of a family. And she treated us like our own daughters, basically. We didn't know what that felt like.
Yeah.
She was kind. And she did us social services if she could adopt us. And he said no, because he couldn't live without the money. Basically.
Just used you.
Yeah, so she couldn't have us anymore, she said, because it was heartbreaking, and it was heartbreaking for us to leave.
Yeah, so is that when you stopped visiting her then, because she couldn't see you anymore because it was too hard?
Yeah. And my younger sister couldn't cope with that. She ended up becoming a drug addict.
Yeah.
And abusing alcohol. All the things that comes with all that in life.
Yeah, the trauma of it leads to that, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
Yeah. So is that the one? So when you say that they took you somewhere else and it was at night time, was that the one that you liked? What was her name? Sorry again.
Fran McGuigan, Frances McGuigan. Her name was. Right. Yeah, they let us two go there, but like I say, I don't know where the others went, the other three children went.
Yeah.
We were, the only times that we did go into one place was East Park Home in Larks. That was just a massive, great big house.
Yeah.
And it was in dorms, but even some of them nurses that used to look after all of us, there was children in there, they were disabled, and there was kids in wheelchairs. We were all different, basically.
Yeah.
And we all had, like, the girls were upstairs, the boys were downstairs, and the babies were over in another section. And that's where my little brother went, and I used to kind of sneak out at night.
Yeah.
And go in there and just so that I could see him. It was just so traumatic, it really was.
So, obviously it's not a question I like to ask, but did anything happen to you there?
In there, they were quite strict. We got lashed with a belt. My sister, especially, she had more than I had to endure.
Yeah.
The cold bath, because she used to wet the bed, and that was through, obviously, trauma.
Yeah.
And I had to wake up early to change her sheets and stash them and put a clean sheet on so she wouldn't get hit, basically.
Yeah.
and there was a couple of kids in there that used to kind of just beat us up, and you had to run a gauntlet, and it was just something that you'd watch on TV, really.
Yeah. I'd hard to believe that it was you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just wouldn't let us do anything. You weren't allowed to go out. You weren't allowed to play in the front. You just wasn't allowed to do anything. They were just so controlling.
Good prison setting.
Yeah. And do you know, as you get older and you kind of think about things, and I think, well, maybe it was because there were so many children in there and they're trying to deal with all different kinds of kids that have got all different kind of backgrounds. You're always trying to make excuses.
Yeah. It's understandable, but it's never your fault.
But it's funny you should say that. I was just saying that before to my partner with Iran. You said, are you okay? And I said, not really. I said, but I will be once I get started.
Yeah.
And he said, don't ever feel ashamed or anything. And she said, because you've done nothing wrong. I said, yeah, but that just follows you. That feeling you don't get rid of.
Yeah, it's just, why? Why else did it?
Of course it is.
It's yeah.
Because you always kind of think, oh, did I make them do that?
Yeah.
The way I was, you just don't know.
Yeah. So, regarding you said stuff that had happened at home, is there anything that happened at home happen in any of the care settings?
Only a couple of them, really, that they just kind of, it's the way they used to grab you, the men, and kind of put the hands on you where they shouldn't be putting the hands.
Yeah.
Or come up at night when the matron, as we call her, when she had gone, and then they're just making sure the doors are locked, windows are locked, but that's not what they were doing.
Yeah. Did you experience or see anything that they were doing?
I saw them touching other girls.
Yeah.
And one girl was lashing out and she got removed. I don't know where she went. And I thought maybe it's just best to shut up because it's no different from when I'm at home. Like I say, the only place I really felt safe was at Van McGuigan's.
Yeah.
And I begged social services. We used to run down to them when they used to, you know, let us home.
Yeah.
Please don't send us in this one. Please don't let us go there. And she said, oh, you've got a good imagination, Angela. I used to think, oh, my God, I'm trying to tell you that we're being abused and you're not listening.
Just put it up to your imagination.
Yeah, that's what she said, yeah. And obviously, when you're going and you're speaking about these records, where are these records when I was going down there
to
the office to speak to them and ask them? And none of that, all the bits where he was sending us down for money or food because we didn't have nothing. We were eating stale bread and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was just an old round of neglect.
So, in regards to all the abuse you suffered, so I just need to not just like summarise it essentially, but just to get an overall picture of everything that you experienced. So just the types of abuse. So, like I said, you'd say that you experienced neglect.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So was this by all the care settings, really?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then physical-wise?
Physical was where they grab you and slap you with a belt, or they're just so controlling where you couldn't answer back. Or if they're asking you something, you were just too frightened to speak.
Yeah. So just kind of froze or just didn't say anything.
Yeah,
and scared what would happen.
Yeah, exactly. There was consequences everywhere we went. obviously I didn't realise that at the time. I just thought that they were just kind of strict and
we were
just frightened to say anything anyway.
It started to become your norm, I guess. So you just,
We were never in school because we were always in children's homes.
Yeah. Missed out on the education because of it.
Yeah. And you can't get that back.
No. Following on to that, so with emotional abuse, would you say there was any significance?
Oh, definitely emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
You said that, like the care worker said to you, like, you've got a good imagination, things like that, making you believe that you're lying almost.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's actually in one of my statements. Angela's got a good imagination. I mean, I was always running away because I just didn't want to be wherever I was. And they just didn't get that. They even got the police on me once. And then I ended up obviously drinking and stuff like that when I was 11, 12.
So where would you go to? So you say you started drinking at 11. So was that within the settings or when you run away? Or was there people who would give it to you?
But there was adults that gave that to us when we were just roaming the streets. When we weren't in a home, when we were just roaming because there was no one there to look after us.
Yeah.
He just didn't care. He just wanted the money. I mean, actually, he was illiterate, so he couldn't read or write.
Yeah. Obviously, the last question, the abuse wise, so was any sexual abuse?
Yeah.
Was there anything... obviously, you mentioned anything at home, so you'd obviously speak about that if you'd like, or not like, you know.
My dad was kind of interfering with us. And my grandfather, which he would take us down there, so I don't know if he was getting off on that.
Yeah.
He took pictures of us naked. And he tried to have sex with us. And I later found out that he was a paedophile. There were thousands of pictures in his cupboard. One of them Polaroid cameras back in the late 70s, early 80s. And there was loads of kids on these pictures. And he was quite forceful.
Yeah.
And my dad never knew about that.
Yeah, and he just...
dismissed it.
Yeah.
Because he was doing it himself.
Yeah. Did you experience anything similar to that in the settings, or was it just mainly at home?
That was mainly at home, but in the settings, the kind of abuse was touch. It wasn't actual...
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they would try and touch you down there and get in your pants. And I mean, I didn't have a breast at that age. I was only young, but they would kind of maul or touch my hair and... try and kiss my face, and it was just awful. And you're trying to run away, and that's when they grab you and pretend to tickle you and play with you, but it wasn't that.
Yeah, they try and turn it into not so like a jokey thing, but they're trying to distract you from
So that they had an alibi, if you like. They could say, oh, no, we're only playing, we're only messing about.
Yeah.
Oh, she's too serious. She's just taking things too far. And I thought, oh, my God, if only you knew.
Yeah. They always find a way around it.
Yeah. In the end, I never said anything.
What was that, sorry?
In the end, I would not speak about it. I would just let it happen. because I got so dumb. I mean, I ended up, obviously, still have an eating disorder.
When would you say that was triggered, or the causes of
that
it?
That was triggered when I was very young.
Yeah, so was it like a self...
It was my way of coping with that feeling of control, that I had control of something, because I had no control over anything else. And it was quite easy to do that, because we were undernourished anyway. We didn't have no food.
Yeah. So it's just something that gave you a bit of sense of control of your own body again.
Yeah.
So with everything we've spoken about today, so would you say that is that the general situation that was in majority of these case settings?
Yeah.
Are there any memories that stand out for a specific place that you'd like me to link it to? Or are they all just kind of blurred into one?
They're all kind of just merged into one.
Yeah.
Because like I say, some of them we would be in overnight, some of them we'd be in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So,
oh, that's okay. So we should be able to get all of that data anyway. You say that you have the file, so that's okay. Okay. Is there anything else that you'd like to add, or anything that you can recall? Any feelings or long-term effects it's left you with?
Well, it's left me with a lot of things. I
went
for sexual counselling in when I lived in London.
Yeah.
My children's relationship, whether it just doesn't exist. I gave my ex-husband a really hard time when they were born, because they were girls, and I wouldn't let them in the bathroom, I wouldn't let them bath them, I wouldn't let them see them naked. It's just awful that you're left with all this and trying to deal with just general life. Relationships are just not very good for me. I'm not good in a relationship. It's a trust thing as well. It's, you know, even though I'm at the age I'm at, but it's left me long-term physical and mental, you know. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, love. I really don't.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
People look and think, oh, she's coping, but deep down, you're not. You're just getting by. Mm-hmm. And smell.
You are doing well right now, so you should be proud of yourself for being able to.
True. Well, I don't know. I feel like I'm falling apart, but it's just kind of remembered. But sometimes it could be a man's smell with them men.
Yeah.
Or it could be a song on the radio from back then. It could be just triggers or a touch, or, you know, even when you're in a relationship. That's why it's just failed. Because it could be a touch or a word or something sexual, you might think, oh my god, no.
And then it just instantly, there's a lot of memories that you've obviously kept back that you've forgotten, and then slight triggers brings it back. And
and it's hard to explain that, and you don't want to go around telling everyone, because you don't want people to kind of judge you.
Treat you differently or anything like that.
They do, and I don't want that.
Yeah.
But my sister, she's got really mental health issues now.
Yeah.
She's had a breakdown. I had a breakdown a few years ago because I just couldn't cope.
What help did you have got? Did you get any help when you went through that?
Well, I was sectioned, to be honest. They sectioned me,
And was this in the hospital near you now?
No, this is in Manchester.
In Manchester. What hospital would that have been?
Cromsall, I think. I think it was Cromsall back then.
I'll have a look. That's okay.
I was about 33 then. That's about a while ago, that was. But
yeah, that's okay.
Because my ex-husband had took my children away from me and said I was mental and all the other things, and so kids have got eating disorders and da da da, and all through my childhood, this all because of that, because no one would listen.
Yeah. I understand this scheme obviously doesn't even get close to help with anything that you went through, but hopefully it's just like a bit of recognition and just for someone to hear you.
Yeah, and you know what? That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
You know, it's just someone to think, do you know what, we've let
knowledge.
Them down. Yeah, we've let them down badly. And just to say, look, we hear you now. You have a voice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what this is about. That's what we want to try and do to help people. So hopefully we can help you show your voice.
And maybe, just maybe, this could be the turnaround for me.
Yeah, I hope so. You definitely deserve it.
Thank you.
Okay. So I've written all that down now, so then I'll pop it all into a statement and everything, and before anything's submitted, it'll get sent over to you, so you can read it, or you cannot if you want, or someone else. It's completely up to you.
Yeah.
But thank you for trusting me with all of that, and I will try. So is that everything really that you wanted to speak about, or?
Do you know, it'll probably all come back to me when I got off the phone, and there'll probably be things that could be irrelevant to me to mention, but all these things, because of we are the way we are with dyslexia, it's kind of hard to kind of process everything. I will just jot things down as I go along now, because now obviously I'm thinking about it and it's on the forefront. And I've got all the therapy, mind, everything that I went through over the years. I've got all them in as well.
So you can, if you want, so I can wait a few days if you want, or a couple of days. And if you start thinking about anything else, or you write anything down, any files you want to share that would help with the statement or dates or anything like that, you send them over to me, and then I can try and piece it all together for you. And then when that's sorted, then I can send it to you and you can double check and confirm and have a look over it all. But yeah, anything you find or think of that you think might be helpful towards it, you send it over, that'd be great. So we'll leave that section now for the time being. And then if you want to go back to it or anything like that, just let me know, okay?
Yeah, I will. What's your name, though? Can I just have your name?
Fran.
Fran.
Yeah.
Just as I know. Because I'm not calling all the young girl that rang me.
Okay. So just move on to the next part, and that's what I need to speak about. So following all of this now, see, I'll get your application together, send it all off for you.
Yeah.
And then, so I'll just speak about the types of payments. So there's two types of applications that we can pursue for you. So there's a fixed payment of £10,000, and this is a fixed amount regardless of the severity you suffered. Or there's the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed panel dependent on the level of abuse you suffered.
Yeah.
So based on previous awards made by the scheme and everything we've spoken about today, so we're pursuing individually assessed payments. Is that something you'd like to go forward with?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Okay. So you won't need to attend any meetings with the redress scheme in person. So we provide the witness statement for you and everything. We tell your story on your behalf.
Yeah.
So after everything we spoke about today now, so my next step would normally be to send you all of the documents and contracts you to sign.
Yeah.
But obviously I'll wait a couple of days so we can get the statement together.
Yeah.
And then I'll send them over then in a couple of days when you're ready.
Right, okay. Well.
But yeah, so that's everything covered today.
Okay.
So just take your time with it. If you need a few days to process anything, if you need to call me to talk, just to talk about anything, ask any questions, just let me know. Send over the documents when you're ready. There's no pressure.
There's quite a lot of documents.
Yeah.
So,
that's good. Just in your own time.
Right. Okay.
If there's anything you just see and you think it might be helpful, so the main one is the dates and the places.
Places, yeah.
Yeah, that would be the key one that we probably need.
Yeah. Right.
But other than that, it's just anything you think might be helpful or anything like that. But yeah.
Right, okay, then well, I can get them to you in a couple of days because I'm actually away next week, so
yeah, no worries.
I can get these off to you before Friday, and then I know you've got the dates and the places, and at least you can do whatever it is you need to get done then.
Yeah, perfect. Right, okay, so that's everything for today. Do you have any questions or anything for me?
No, love, honestly, you've kind of covered that, and thank you so much for being so gentle.
That's okay.
And so understanding as well.
Thank you for trusting me with everything as well.
No, you're welcome.
But yeah, so I'll be back in touch with you this week. Just if I need anything additional anything
you
like that.
Yeah, you just text me, love, or give me a number to ring. So if you're ringing me off this number, it will still come up as
Yeah, so is what I'll do is I'll give you a text message before I call you. So then
I know it's you.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Okay,
perfect. Thank you very much. Right.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
And you, love. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.